This is Impossible to Please, written by Samela and read by Tipsy Kitty. You cannot be serious. Vincula stared blithely at Childermas's reflection behind his shoulder in the mirror. Why not? He asked. He twirled, sending the tails of his new frock coat fanning out around his body. He was excessively proud of the coat, and more than a little put out that Childermas did not seem to share his appreciation of it, though looking at his companion's plain black coat, Vinculus reflected that it might be rather rich for the man's taste. It was rust-red velvet, and generously trimmed in silver and gold brocade at the cuffs, around the collar, and all along the tails, so that when he turned or moved, the trim flashed pleasingly in the candlelight. He felt rather like an elemental spirit, all quickness and fire, while Childermas lurked behind him, a disapproving shadow. In the mirror, Childermas rolled his eyes. "Finish getting ready," was all he said. No comment on the coat, or how well he thought Vinculus looked in it, or how the venerable gentleman of the York Society of Magicians would be sure to be impressed. "I am ready," Vinculus answered with a flourishing bow. The candlelight flashed off his cuffs most dramatically, so he did it again. Instead of commenting on the dashing trim of Vinculus's new coat, Childermas asked about his new trousers. "They're my old trousers," he answered. He lifted the tails of his coat out of the way so he could check the progress of the hole in the seat of them. It didn't seem much bigger than it had the day before, and his coattails covered it admirably, and so he felt perfectly satisfied with the state of his trousers. He caught the look on Childermas's face in the mirror, however, and felt obliged to explain himself. "These are my lucky trousers." At Childermas's blank look, he continued. "See me to the next life and back again, didn't they? Didn't even mess them when I was hanged. Luck like that must be respected." Childermas conceded that point without comment, but naturally, he proceeded at once to a new argument entirely, and informed Vinculus that he must put on a shirt. "What for?" Vinculus demanded, utterly perplexed. "I just gotta take it off again 10 minutes into the meeting." Childermas answered that the other gentleman would expect him to come fully dressed, to which Vinculus scoffed and straightened his jacket primly. If the other gentlemen were not impressed by his coat, they would not be impressed by anything, and they could all hang as far as Vinculus was concerned. "And there are ladies present at these meetings now," Childermas continued. "More each month. Have you no consideration for their sensibilities?" Vinculus waved that concern away like a pesky insect, admiring the sparkling of the candlelight against his cuff again. "Lady magicians are a different breed, Childermas, as you ought to know." Vinculus peered around for his old hat to top off his outfit, thinking to himself how well the faded old rosette upon the brim would look with his new coat, and so he missed the peculiar little twitch of Childermas's hands in the mirror. "Lady magicians might well be different," Childermas conceded, beginning to see sense at last. "But their fathers, brothers, and husbands are not. What of them?" Vinculus granted him the point. He had plenty of experience with disgruntled male relatives, and was not particularly anxious to repeat any such encounter. "I've got a shirt I can borrow," he called after Childermas, who had turned to go, no doubt satisfied that his every little demand would now be seen to. "What? Where's your new shirt?" "Ain't got one, do I?" Vinculus answered absently. "Spent the whole of my allowance on my dashing new coat." He twirled again and watched the tails flare in the mirror. Having spotted his hat at last, he reached out to snatch it with a flourish that set his cuffs flashing once more. But there was nothing there. Rather, there was something there, but it was not quite his hat. It was the same size and shape as his hat, but the rosette was on the wrong side, as was the frayed patch where a donkey had bitten the brim. A horrible suspicion forming in Vinculus's mind, he reached out to touch the hat that was not his hat, but his fingers met on the empty air. "What have you done to my hat?" Vinculus cried, trying again to pick it up off the table. He whirled to the mirror. "It's in there, isn't it? You swapped it with its reflection, you beast. That's my favorite hat." But Childermas had gone already, presumably to fetch Vinculus a shirt. "Get ready to go, Vinculus. Put on a shirt, Vinculus. Leave off the hat, Vinculus. Never ends with him, does it?" Vinculus stuffed an arm back into his coat, even its glorious trim not enough to elevate his mood any longer. "Got to look our best, Vinculus. There'll be ladies present, Vinculus." He shoved his other arm into the coat and tugged it straight, cringing at the combined effect the new coat and borrowed shirt created in the mirror. I bend over backward to make him happy. Bow to his every absurd little demand. And what does he give me? Heartache. It's white, Vinculus. White. White my tattooed arse. Heartache. With this red? Honestly. He tugged his new rosette-free hat onto his head without bothering to check that it was on straight. He started for the door, still fuming to himself over the oppressive, ill-humored, capricious bear of a man that was John Childermass. When this is all over, I want my sanity back. And my hat. The end.